Thank you, praise team. What a powerful song. We depend on God because he is dependable. And we are not dependable. And when we try and depend on things that are of this world, we fail and they fail and failure happens and sin happens. And we can look to God and say, thanks, God. All right. Are you grateful? I'm grateful. I am thankful. One of my favorite holidays, if not my favorite holiday, is Thanksgiving, a time to just set aside all the clutter and say thanks to God for all that he's done. I'd like to share a few things that I'm thankful for and give a little update in parallel with what's been going on in our life. And I don't want this to be about the Glidewells. I just want to be, we're part of the church family here among you, and you guys have prayed for us, and so I thought I'd share a little bit of the journey that God's had us on recently. 2 weeks ago, a little over 2 weeks ago, on the night of the 6th, we got a phone call and needed to go up to pick up Aurora from Kansas City. She was in the hospital for a few days and needed our attention. So I'm thankful that she has good friends. I'm thankful that she had people to come around her and care for her. That was great. When we got to Kansas City, she had been transferred to another hospital 2 hours north of there. So we got to Kansas City. We're not there yet. We got 2 more hours to go. Driving through the night, yeah, keep going. After she was released from the hospital, we went back to Kansas City. We were going to clean her out of her dorm room. I'm thankful for caring professionals who can help her out, help us out when we're sick and need help at hospitals. I'm thankful. Wednesday, the next day, the 12th, Stormy delivered our first grandbaby. Pretty excited about that. And everybody wants to know how you say her name. As far as I know, it's Alia. Like, Alia, pay attention, okay? I'm thankful for this little one. Thursday, the next day, we left Kansas City for East Texas to see Sam be promoted from the Alert Academy. So up to Kansas City, then down to Alert. There he is. Look at that. Looking all spiffy there. These guys, 51 of them, part of the requirements to graduate was to recite, that means from memory, it's a challenge for me, all of 1 Peter, and they did. And I was like, wow. So they started with Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. And so I'm like, wow, this is good. I started my stopwatch about 4 or 5 verses in. It went for about 14 and a half minutes. They sat there and recited in unison all together. First, I was impressed. Wow, that was good. They did it. That was some work right there. So that was Friday. Sam promoted, and he's planning on going back in January, I believe the 10th, for another serving of that. So let's see. What else is going on? We left early in the morning Saturday from the Alert Academy in East Texas and headed towards the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, where we found a ticket for Ange to go up to Spokane to see Alia, the first grandbaby, and Stormy and Sheldon too, of course. So I'm thankful that we have airline service and that there's opportunity for us to do that. So there she is, Ange and Stormy and Sheldon and Alia there, pictures going on there. We continued on to Arizona. We got up at 4 o'clock in the morning in Texas time, and we got home at 12:30 in the morning on Sunday a week ago. I think I was here in church last Sunday, but I don't remember it. 3,400 safe miles. Thankful for that, and we're thankful for a vehicle that served us so well. Monday, we're not done yet. Ange hopped on an airline flight from Spokane back to Mesa. She got an Allegiant flight. It landed inconveniently at 10:30 at night from Mesa. So I worked all day on Monday and then left the hangar and went up to Mesa, picked her up, and then, 12:30 in the morning, Angie and I are like driving through Tucson and we're so hungry. You're just like, oh man, stomach's no, mine's louder. What's open in the middle of the night? So we stopped at a Waffle House. I've never done that before. We got one of those hash brown omelet disasters. It was fantastic. We split it. Honestly, I've never had a date with my wife in a restaurant at 1 o'clock in the morning before, so we can check that box off. It was actually very enjoyable. We were the only ones there. We got great service. We made it home about 3 o'clock in the morning, worked the next day. Tomorrow, just because we're on a trend, the Glidewells plan to head towards Michigan. To take care of some things up there. So I am so thankful for you guys praying for us. Here we are. So I just want to say, one of the traditions we have as the Glidewells on Thanksgiving Day, we sit around the Thanksgiving table. Before we pray, we all have three little pieces of corn, popcorn, and we put them in a little basket. And each time we put one in a basket, we say what we're thankful for, what for this past year. I'll tell you what, preview, I'm thankful for this church. Thank you. I'm thankful for being part of this family, for you guys praying for us. And we get to pray for each other and care for each other, laugh together and enjoy life together, and serve, most important, serve the Lord together and just look at Christ. Okay, this isn't about me. This is about Christ. Let's look at our memory verse, Galatians 5:3. Let's say it together. We're not going to have to say all of Galatians, like, or Peter or anything. Just this verse. Let's say this. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, not only to turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. I didn't say that very well, but you guys did a great job. Let's talk to God this morning. Good morning, God. We have so much to be thankful for. We praise you. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your forgiveness. The peace that we can have with you, we thank you for it, and we thank you for how we can rest and relax in it and not be in strife against you. God, we thank you for the freedom that comes from putting our lives in your hands, your grip, that we are freed from being slaves to sin. We are freed from addictions and problems. God, you have freed us from this world. We thank you, God, for this righteousness that you've given to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for being a holy and awesome God, and that we can come boldly before you in prayer. Amen. So, here we are. This is a conversation continuing from last week. This is week two of a two-part series on church membership. So here at EBC, we value expositional teaching. We like to get into God's Word and unpack verse by verse. We value that. But sometimes we do choose to do a brief topical study. Darren, Jeff, and myself picked, as we have feel led to do that. This message in particular is a bit more administrative, if you will. I don't feel like there's going to be a powerful spiritual takeaway from this. So again, it's an exception. So bear with me through this. I kind of feel like I should be sitting in that chair up there and just kind of casually talking to you guys. I'll be more comfortable anyway. But let's start with a review from last week. We talked about, and this is a little bit foundational so we can understand where we get this from Scripture. Darren talked about prescribed versus described. He talked about normal versus narrative and what the differences are in that when we study Scripture. So normal or narrative mean the same idea. Those are commands. Those are expectations. When we look at that in Scripture, God expects us to see that and apply it to our life. Then there's other passages that are narrative. It's a historical narrative of what happened or a description of what happened. There may be precedents that we can use, but it's really an account of what happened. Here are some examples. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all things for the glory of God." So that's an example of a command. God wants us to do that. We should give God glory in everyday activities, eating, drinking, chores, rather at work, when we're changing a flat tire in the rain. We should do it for God's glory. This should be our normal behavior. How about Exodus chapter 17? God told Moses to strike the rock and water should come out of it. Moses did. He struck the rock, water came out. That's what happened historically. This is a narrative that's not a command. We can't take that away and say, oh, I'm thirsty, I'm going to go strike a rock. If you go hiking in the Chiricahuas, don't go look for rocks to strike. Bring a water bottle, okay? Let's try a couple more on. Darren gave this example last week. James 1, verse 2 says, consider all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials. That's a command. Yep, that's expected normal behavior for a Christian. We can't do that on our own. We can't, as humans in our own flesh, say, ooh, I'm having a bad time. It doesn't work like that. But when we can have joy in our troubles, that joy is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It comes out of the Holy Spirit that's within us. It's not an external happiness that we put on like a shirt. We were talking about that at the meeting this morning with the elders, that the Holy Spirit's within us, and when we trust in Him, the joy flows out of us. Does that happen all the time? No. I sometimes look to myself, I'm like, oh, miserable, you know? But when we look at what Christ has done, we should have joy. So when you have a flat tire on I-10 in the cold rain, are you singing praise songs, knowing that your faith will be improved and tested? If you try to do this on your own efforts, you're going to fail. You're not going to pass the test. But if you keep your eyes on Christ and what He has done for you, your thankfulness will far exceed the discomfort of any inconvenience. I think of, our minds go to Paul and Silas in prison, Acts chapter 16. They're tossed into the darkest part of the prison. Yucky place. They didn't have televisions to watch in this prison. Without Christ, their singing, their praising God would have been insane. But with Christ, it is normal behavior. And the other people in the prison were like, what's with these guys? These guys are nuts. No, they're not nuts. They're complete in Christ. And so they're praising God, even in the midst of being stuck in a nasty prison. Okay, one more passage exercise. I'll just tell you about Judges chapter 6, Gideon, the prophet. He wasn't sure about going into battle against the bad guys, even though God promised victory. God promised victory. Gideon says, there's a lot of those guys. They're big, hairy, Viking-looking dudes, and we haven't been working out much. So, God, are you sure about this plan? God says, Gideon asks God for proof that God would keep His word. Do you ever doubt God's going to keep His word? Gideon did. So he put a fleece out. He said, God, if you're true, make it in the morning. This is going to be soaking wet and the ground around it's dry. And sure enough, the next morning, the fleece was so wet that he wrung it out and got a whole bowl full of water and the ground was dry. Cool. Gideon's like, good to go, right? No, he's like, maybe we need a control group on that. Let's try it again. So this time, God, if you're for real, if you're really going to keep your promise, make the fleece dry and everything else wet. God had patience with the guy, and sure enough, that's what happened. The fleece was dry and the ground was wet. That's what happened. That's narrative. That's history. We shouldn't look at that and say, should we put something out for God? I mean, if, let's see, this is going to happen, then I'll do that, or this is going to happen. No, God gave us the Holy Spirit in us so that we can hear Him in His quiet voice in our soul. So that story in Gideon and in Judges is history. It's not a command for us to be, and that should not be the norm for us. So why? Why are we talking about these vocabulary words, normal, prescriptive versus narrative, descriptive? What's the point here? Understanding these tools or using these tools, looking into Scripture, helps us know how to administrate the church. How do we use Scripture to set up how we organize El Frida Baptist Church? And just for a starting point, so we talked about normal, prescriptive, narrative, descriptive, these two categories, but maybe in the future we'll get into other categories. There's a whole list of them. And if you take the Bible, you can dissect it into the books into different categories. We have examples of like the law. There's a picture. I actually got the poster. The poster's in the room over here. There's the law, the first five books of the Bible. The books of history. There's books of poetry like Psalms, Proverbs. There's the major prophets and then the minor prophets, the Gospels, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then Paul's epistles, and then other epistles written by other authors. So if you look at the context of it, it'll help you understand. And if you think the Bible not as a book, but as a library of books that are inspired by God, that's helpful as we read through Scripture together. So I trust that all of you are in God's Word frequently. Let's see. 2 weeks ago, Jeff talked about deacons and their role in the church. Jeff talked about the examples from Acts chapter 6 and the Acts chapter 6 narrative. Now, Acts is a history book of what happened in the early church. Expected normals are found in 1 Timothy chapter 3, but the Acts 6 is a narrative in the early church body. What they did was the early church body elected seven deacons. In fact, I want to read that. Acts chapter 6 verse 2 says this. The 12 apostles summoned the congregation of the disciples, so that's the church at that time, and said, "It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Instead, brothers and sisters, select from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task." So let's take a couple of observations away from this. Although we don't see this as a command, there's nothing wrong with following some of the precedents. So this is where we get into, hey, this is what happened. There's nothing wrong with copying some of this, but we can kind of pick, it's within the boundaries of Scripture, we can pick and choose those details. So we, as an Alfreda Baptist Church, have the congregation help choose deacons. And that's what Darren talked about a few minutes ago. He's like, hey, we're looking for some more nominations for deacons. We're leaning on you guys for that information. At the same time, we don't expect EBC deacons to bring us food, okay? That's what they did in Acts chapter 6. That's not the purpose that this church wants the deacons to do. And also, in this passage, they selected seven deacons. We're not going to say, oh, that's what the Scripture says, so we need seven deacons. We see how many deacons we need, and we look for that number. So that's how that works. So how? How are we as a church going to set up church membership? And that's what we're talking about last week and this week. We're going to get into the mechanics, if you will, of how this works in our church. Reviewing a little bit, again, what Darren spoke last week, those who are part of a local church in Scripture, or in this case, EBC, and those who are not, how do you know who's in the church and who's not? And to be honest, this church, we haven't done a great job in the past few years of keeping track of those details. We have a list, but it's pretty dusty. We were just looking at it this morning. Well, this is from 2012, and this is from 2018, and we're like, wish we could have a little bit more accurate roster. That's one of the things I'm hoping to accomplish today, is to help clean this up, or start the process of cleaning that up. Reminder from last week, membership, I don't want to emphasize that it's the most important thing. It's an important thing, but it's not the most important thing in church organization. In fact, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40, end of that chapter, Paul tells the Corinthian church, and us by extension, all things must be done properly and in an orderly way. So the mandate for us is to have an organized church. We should have things done orderly. And so we want to step up that game a little bit. People who are part of the New Testament church were these things. They professed faith in Christ. We can see that. All the people, that was the definition of the church. They professed faith in Christ. They agree that they were sinners and that Jesus Christ paid for the sins. They trusted Christ as their personal Savior. And another thing is that they were baptized. They were baptized, they're saved, and they are counted as among them. We see this example in Acts 2:41. After Peter's sermon, the Scripture says this: those who have received his word, that's Peter's message, were baptized, and that day were added about 3,000 souls. Now, this is a narrative passage, but we can clearly see that they did what? They acknowledged who Jesus Christ was, trusted him as Savior, and were baptized. In addition to these steps, Alfreda Baptist Church We're not going to add to Scripture. We're just going to add to the organization of this church. We want people who are members to agree with the Alfreda Baptist Church Statement of Faith. So on the back, on the purple table back there, we have printed out Statement of Faith. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right. Statement of Faith that's inside this blue piece of paper and the Constitution and the bylaws. So there's some packets back there for people to grab. If you agree with the Statement of Faith and you agree to abide by the Constitution and policies and attend regularly, another thing is be 18 years old or older, then fill out the application and give it to one of the elders. And we will at some time interview people, interview you as a candidate to determine qualifications and then be a voted on or approved by the members. And that's usually pretty straightforward. Everybody in favor? I've never seen anybody disagree. So we're looking for faith in Christ, to be baptized. Third, agree with EBC's statement of faith. Four, agree and agree to abide by the Constitution and policies. Attend regularly. Six, be 18 years or older. And then after meeting with the elders, the last thing is to be approved by the congregation. That's the steps or the mechanics that we as Alfreda Baptist Church have set out for membership. So why? What's the point? Why become a member of Alfreda Baptist Church? Alfreda Baptist Church is a nonprofit organization. In the U.S., nonprofit organizations have certain financial privileges. We can issue, the church can issue tax deduction receipts for financial donations. So somebody puts money in the offering and it's tracked to them, the church can issue a tax receipt. That's given to us as a privilege. As an organization, we also have legal protection for the church and individuals. For example, if something bad happens and the courts get involved, the courts make a distinction if somebody is a member. I thought of this example. Darren sometimes uses my van to transport some of the Awana clubbers to an event. If somebody, a friend not in the church, borrows my van and takes some kids to an event, this church has no responsibility to do it. So if there was an accident, God forbid, while Darren's using my van for a church event, and there's an accident, somebody gets hurt, the insurance company is going to ask, is this legitimately a church function? And what's the proof for that? Well, Darren's a member, I'm a member, and this was a church-sanctioned event. So that would qualify. But if Darren weren't a member and I weren't a member, then the insurance company would ask questions and say, are you sure? This looks kind of like a neighborhood get-together. So having membership shows documentation and due process in that. Another advantage of membership, those who are members can vote in EBC business meetings. Membership shows vested interest in the success and well-being of the church and the purpose of the church. The EBC Constitution requires a 25% quorum. So when we get together to vote on important issues, we want to have 25% of the people on the roster here for the vote. We have one coming up in January. What did we say, the 11th? 18th? Okay. Membership provides a level of commitment to EBC's expectations as seen in the Constitution and bylaws. We know what we believe and we know what we stand for. Having these things written, they're written here, Statement of Faith, and you can look through this. And this isn't to be a supplement or replacement for Scripture, but a summary of what we believe and stand for. If anyone asks what we believe or how we function, it would be really confusing just to hand them a Bible. Okay, here's what we believe, all right? Well, there's a lot of people that stand on God's word and come away with slightly different expectations and interpretations. So this provides unity in how we as a church family function. Again, this is a little bit in the weeds and administrative. Bear with me. Another reason for church membership is it's our desire that those who hold positions of responsibility be members of church. Now, in our Constitution, it says that elders like myself and deacons, they need to be members. That's a requirement for those positions. Similarly, but not explicitly required, people who hold various leadership positions in ministries, teaching, finance, maybe department heads, we would really like these people to be members. It would not be good, for example, if somebody were teaching Sunday school and they didn't agree with our statement of faith. Like, yeah, I like this church and like coming here, but I don't believe that the Bible is God's word, so I'm just going to teach in Sunday school something else. Okay, that's not going to fly, right? We wouldn't want that. So if somebody agrees to our statement of faith, then it gives us confidence in them that they're going to be true to God's word and what we want to speak as one voice. Again, always pointing to Christ. Membership also defines boundaries. Okay, Darren talked about that last week. Every group, whatever the group is, it has boundaries. And Darren gave some great examples of this. We live in Arizona. We cannot vote in California. He talked about that. Unlike people in Chicago who can vote in almost any state several times. Just kidding, okay. An important role of the elders, Darren, Jeff, and myself, is to protect the church from false teaching and sin. Do you ever see those people on the internet? They're out to fix everybody's problem and comment. That's not us, okay? This group right here, we want to be friends with you. We want to be your spiritual leaders. We want to help you grow, encourage you, whatever it is. But we can't do that for all of Cochise County. We can't do that for all the United States or the world. God has given the three of us the responsibility for this dear little flock right here, okay? And that's great, okay? So those are reasons for becoming members of El Frida Baptist Church. Things to avoid in the context of church membership. I want to talk about this for a minute. First of all, I don't want to impose any pressure. I don't want anybody to feel like, oh, he's twisting my arm to become a member. Not like that. I'm inviting people to take a membership packet. Grab one of these things in the back and read it, okay? And see if you fit. See if this is something that you want to move towards. Also, we want to avoid making church membership a merit or anything special. Oh, like, ooh, I'm a member of El Frida Baptist Church. Where do you go? You know, oh, that little church down? You know, none of that. Not going to put up with that. Darren said last week, all of our boasting should be towards Christ, okay? Not me, myself. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 31 says, let the one who boasts boast about the Lord. And we want to stay there. We're not going to get you a little badge you can wear, a little ID card, none of that. Another thing to avoid, don't say, come to church. When you're out and about talking to people, don't say, come to church. That's a little weird. A lot of churches are like, hey, come to church, okay? Coming to church isn't bad, but we don't want people to come to church. We want people to come to Christ. See the difference? We don't want this place to be a place of evangelism. We want you guys as a church family to be equipped to go out and evangelize your neighbors and your friends and your coworkers and whatnot. And we come together because we have what in common? We have Christ in common. And that's fellowship. Now, I'm not saying don't bring people to church. That would be reading it backwards. But the point of the Sunday service is to worship Christ together and to learn about Christ through scriptures together. Each of us who have experienced a supernatural relationship with the Holy Creator God, we have that in common. And we want you to be equipped, like I said, to share Christ with other people. Ephesians 4:12, Paul says, for the equipping of the saints, and you guys are the saints, for the work of the ministry. So we want to equip you guys for the work of the ministry. And that's the local, of the body of Christ, and that's the local church here, El Frida Baptist Church, in this case. So now what? What action steps or takeaways are there here? Like, I know this message might be a little bit like an infomercial. We'll keep this type of church service to a minimum. We'll be getting back into expositional teaching soon. But current members, people who are members of El Frida Baptist Church, thank you. It really helps. It means a lot. It provides stability and continuity. Thank you. If not, again, no pressure. I am sharing with you the opportunity and how you could take steps to learn more on becoming a member. The packets in the back, table, read the Constitution and bylaws, pray about it, talk to God about it. Ask questions like, hey, what about this? What about that? We really do try to keep the membership hazing to a minimum. There's None of that. Okay. If you are in a lead position of some sort, we do ask you to seriously consider looking over the documents and taking steps towards membership. That would be helpful. Fill out the application. It's four lines on the quiz, and most of it's demographic, like where do you live and email address. And then get it back to one of the elders. It's exciting to see this church grow. We have grown a lot. And how do I define growth? First of all, I define it this way. I see people growing in God's word and learning God's word. And I think that that's most important. Challenging each other spiritually. That's great. We also see new people joining our group. And that's good too. But none of this matters without Christ. Without the love for each other, without God's grace, and without the righteousness that Christ gives us, none of it matters. Go back to our memory verse, Galatians 5, verse 3. It seems so fitting as we serve one another through love. It says, "For you are called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity to please the flesh, but serve one another through love." And pray for one another. Pray for the Glidewells as we travel. Pray for each other. We had a whole pile of prayer requests this morning in Sunday school. There you go. On that note, let's close in prayer. Have the praise team come up. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this church. Thank you for Jesus Christ, who can save us from our awful sins. God, thank you that we can celebrate you together. God, help us to have an attitude of gratefulness this week, so much so that it goes beyond the normal expectations. Help us not to be distracted by the eye candy that may come across our computer screens or phones as Black Friday tries to entice us into all the junk that we really don't need. But keep our eyes on you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand for the last song, please. You're going to leave out of here, and there's the never-ending to-do list. Take a few moments to count your blessings of what God has done for you. Sit down in a comfy chair like this, find a quiet place, and say, "Thank you, God." And talk to the Holy Spirit and see how awesome it is just to have peace with God, so that the joy of God can radiate out of you, and that other people can see the peace that you have had, that you have, and maybe share that with somebody else. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for coming. You're dismissed.